You really believe that? And of course, if you're saved, you're on the winning side anyhow, whether you believe it or not. If you just let God bless you tonight, He can do great things for us. A little hard this morning, and it's not as easy as I'd like for it to be right now, but if you just get to thinking about God, get your mind off of whatever else it's on, because He's the only one can help you. I mean, God's the only one that can do anything for you. Ain't nobody else can do anything. God has to do it. If He does it through somebody, that's good. If He does it without somebody, that's still good. God's the only one can do it. Well, I appreciate you being here tonight. I'm glad this brother and these folks are here tonight with us from over in Carolina. And you pray the camp meeting's on the way. Be here Monday week from tomorrow. We'll be in camp meeting. A lot of people coming here to try to get help and to try to get a blessing. Amen. I mean, they're looking for something. And we ought to have a little something at least to give them when they come here. Not just food over there, because that's not the important thing. We could close that down one of these days and just have meetings and fast. Because that ain't the important thing. We worry about getting everything straightened out and everything done. But it's not life for it to be done, but God ought to be first. That ought to be the first thing that happens. So let God have His way. And I want you to pray that the Lord will take over. Now pray for the choir tonight. It sounds like every one of them got the croup. And I can't. Now I know they can't hit it. I don't know why it's like. I've had it too. So I mean, I went looking for some cough drops. Roseanne was sent me an envelope full of them the other day. And I can't take them that good because they got sugar in them. And I got one or two. And somebody else done got them all by now. I looked that study over just now, and I can't find them nowhere. So it's all right. Didn't look like it hit you any. It's still coughing. So, the crowd of God must have either not got helped or they went the other way. I wasn't needing them for myself, but I was trying to find them for some of the rest of this choir up here. We need to bring about a gallon over here and just set them up here so they can come, you know, hide them somewhere where they can get them one when they need it. Youngins, I reckon, think they're candy. Whatever I get in there looks like candy. I never do see it once. It gets gone. But I don't eat candy, but anyway. Well, we're going to receive the offering, and you give what you can, and I'll appreciate it, and God will bless you. And we get right on in with the singing here, and I want you to pray while you're giving, and pray while you're trying to get ready to sing here. We're going to pray that God will help us tonight. I appreciate the Lord and His goodness to us and His kindness and His mercy. And you bow and pray with us. And a lot of folks got requests for prayer. We pray that the Lord will help them. Now, I want you to pray for the camp meeting. Pray for the preachers. Pray for Brother Charles Lewis that's in the hospital, preacher friend. Pray God will touch him. And the Brother Oswald down in Brother Danny. You pray for him, that God will just touch him. Danny Chapel, God will touch him and make him able to get back out like he used to be on the field as much as he used to be, that God will use him. And I'll appreciate that. And Sam, you lead us, and everybody pray.
Our dear gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we bow tonight. Lord, we bow to the lovely name of the Lord Jesus. Come through this precious blood. Pray for the mercy seat. Our Father's mighty grace. Lord God, tonight I pray that we get a mind here. And I pray our Father we just settle down and get out the things of this life.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
Our Father, get serious tonight.
Yes,
God. Come, God.
Oh,
have you, God. And our Father's going to rise and pay the lamb tonight. Take upon what you've done for us, how he suffered on the rugged cross 1900 some years ago, that we can have life and have it more abundantly. Lord, help us to come and honor it tonight. Help us to come and appreciate it and thank it tonight for dying for us. Thank you, Lord God. Lord God, he's free, but he's we pray in this tonight. Help us to come to be faithful. Lord God, I thank you for the church tonight. The King of glory is here. No mighty one, the one our Father has loved us. And our Father will give us life. Lord God is walking among us tonight. And our Father, and I pray, dear God, if we look to it. Oh God, I pray tonight, our Father, this time together, God, to worship and pray and praise Him. And our Father, may His divine will be done. Oh God, remember the little old boy who was hurt. Lord, we went, God, knowing there's no more grace there. We went in with fear in our heart. Lord, with reverence to the church. Lord, God, tonight when I pray, come with reverence. We'll come, God, our Father, to the Holy One. Our Father, God, that loves us and wants to help us tonight. Bless him and save him. Touch God tonight. Oh, God, I pray to do. Lord God, this soul is here tonight, dying to go to hell. I pray tonight, God, the good Holy Spirit of God will come and convict of sin and draw and touch and move tonight, oh God. Oh God, have your way. God, come and help us tonight. God, come and get in our midst. Lord God, we can do nothing without you. Let the Spirit of God, our Father, be a sounding pain and keep it simple. God, that I breathe upon us tonight and touch, oh God, touch the plaster. Lord God, give me power. God, the priest, Lord, we pray. Lord God, tonight, thank you, God, for the gospel. Thank you, God, for the good news. Lord, I've been saved tonight. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I've been sealed until the day of redemption. I've been, God, tonight, we're fixed up for another country. Now, call heaven. Now, move and have your way. Lord, we've got a lot to be thankful for tonight. A lot to rejoice in. Now, Father, move and do. And thanking God for what you're going to do. In Jesus' holy name, I pray. Amen.
Thank you. did for me.
Pray tonight for several people in here. The blood will never lose its power. The devil may make you think that, but he'll never lose its power. Brother Gabbert, you come up here a minute. He's going to have to go somewhere too. Do you pray for him? Get the burden on their heart.
In this Word of God, talks about a place where the worm dieth not, the flame is not quenched. You know, in this Word of God, it talks about a place where there's many torments. Talks about a fellow begging for a drop of water. This Bible talks about a place where its everlasting doom is in a lake of fire. But you know, because of Jesus, the Son of God, I don't have to go there.
Amen.
There's nothing more important than all that. What we have in Jesus.
Amen.
If you're here tonight and you don't know that heaven can be your home, and know that Jesus wants to help you. He showed me that. I came in feeling sorry for myself, and I looked around, saw some visitors. I said, praise God. There's a task to be done. There's a work to be done. And it's called Jesus. Just believe and trust in Him and what He can do. That's grace. It's grace. It's grace. It's grace. Hallelujah, it's grace. I'm going to wallow in it. I'm going to enjoy it. I'm enjoying what God's doing. You know, I've been just sitting here feeling sorry for myself, and preacher's calling me on the phone, and I think, oh God, what's wrong? He said, son, what's wrong is you just need to look at me. You realize you don't have to go to that place called hell. The greatest gift and the glory in all the world is what my Savior did for me. And I would like to lift Him up tonight and talk about how great He is and how wonderful He is. Preacher talked about a power, to get hold of a power with the blood of what Jesus accomplished. Looking up in the choir and seeing those wonderful words, but looking on their faces and their countenance and saying, whoa, God. And I was looking in a mirror. I was thinking, I knew he said that. I said, I wanted to come up and say something. And I'm glad He let me come up and tell you that He loves you. He loves me. I want to feel Him. I want to know Him. Feel His power. I tell you why, I'm going to get excited about Jesus. I've been up in New York for 2 weeks. I was up in Ohio for a week. I wish I could have took Brookside Baptist Church, every one of you, all the way to the back pew, and stuck you in my pocket and showed you what's going on. The Bible says in Proverbs that a full soul doesn't desire the honey. You're just loafing at the honeycomb. But to him that is hungry, every bitter thing is sweet. There's a honeycomb here, folks. And there's people coming by. But we need to get a vision and realize what we can do for God. Brookside Baptist Church. I had a fellow in my home church. My church runs about 600 people up there. I call it my church. I don't know what it is. It's a place where I was spent time at. Passed through, passed by. Fellow come to me and says, what's going on? What's so special about Brookside? I said, anywhere from 150, 160 people. Here you got all these people excited, clapping their hands and getting all excited. I said, what's down there? I said, there's nothing but God wanting me to be here. And I love every one of you from the bottom of my heart. And when I say that, I mean it. I love you, Brookside Baptist Church. I just told the preacher, I hope God let me. Let him be my pastor before it's all over. I know a lot of great preachers. I had a lot of preachers in my life. Honest to God, I've never had a pastor that loved me, that helped me, like this man behind me has. I think you ought to appreciate Jesus and what He's done. You ought to appreciate how good He's been, how wonderful He's been. We're just sitting around wondering, whoa, God wants to do something here tonight. If you just open up and let Him come. Amen. He's out there knocking. He wants to come in tonight. There's some hearts here God wants to get into tonight. I pray you open up and believe this book. And He'll help you. I love you and appreciate you. God bless you.
one ever cared so much for me as Jesus. Seems a little warm in here. I don't know if it is or not, but is it? It's cold a while ago, and now I feel warm. I don't know if I'm getting hot or cold. Get spewed out. Anyway, Brother Gabbert's going to have to go down to see the board he's with on Tuesday. So you pray for him.
Amen.
Seemed like that everybody's scared of us and they want him to get away from here, they said. He said. So, whatever. Whatever. I don't know what's wrong with us, but everybody's got, sound like everybody thinks we got a plague or something that they can't get, and it won't get better. But anyway, I'm not worried about what anybody thinks. I'm worried about, I just want to get close to God. I ain't worried about what anybody thinks. I can't help what they think or what they've heard. I don't even hear things. I don't even hear nothing. I don't know about it. I don't listen for nothing. Of course, if you're listening, you'll probably hear it. I appreciate all of you. This brother here come over. Brother Bag will come over this evening. And Jimmy come in this morning and said he wanted to clean his carpet. And then Vicky and Ricky's wife decided they'd take it off of him and do it. And he come in tonight, and I said something about it. I don't know what I said now, but he said, yeah, I was going to ask you about that. I'd like to come over and clean it for you. He's in that business. And he said he'd come over here Friday and do it. Got a big machine and truck and everything. Ain't God good?
Amen.
I mean, I appreciate Jimmy mentioning it. I appreciate these women wanting to do it. And then God sent somebody by and said, I will do it. We're going to have to rent a machine and not the kind that really can do this kind of stuff. I mean, it's dangerous to mess up a good carpet if you're not careful. You can do it. But God's good.
Amen.
Well, you keep praying for him, but God will keep blessing him.
Amen.
He came over here and got us to pray for him, and God blessed him, he said. And he'd done more in the last week than he had in 3 months. If God will do that again for him, we'll have things on top of the ground. I mean, God's able.
Amen.
All we need to do is just believe that he loves us.
Amen.
I mean, he does care for us. I mean, he wants to help us.
Amen.
I mean, there ain't nobody here tonight but what God would like to help.
Amen.
He said somebody told him what was wrong with him. He had a secret sin. I mean, there's a lot of them dudes around. I said, now how could you have a secret sin with God looking at you? He knows all about you. God, you can't hide nothing from a God as big as we got. I mean, secret sin. You don't even have no secrets. Let alone sin. God knows all them too. Man, he knows how bad you are. He knows your thoughts before you ever think them. He answers your prayer before you ever ask him.
Amen.
I read that. He's good, isn't he?
Amen.
Well, don't sit here and look like that. Go ahead, sister. Just take your time. Come up here if you want to and tell it. I'd like to have you up here. I appreciate this young lady. Probably 20 years ago, Joe come by here and preached about getting in the closet. She been in there. It'll pay off. Whatever you need, he's got it. And if there's somebody here tonight that's got a need and you just got one, I mean, it's pretty pressing on you, pretty heavy on you. I don't need to know what it is. I don't need to know. But I thought of this a while ago. I tell you what I want you to do, just one at a time, if you've got a need and you want us to pray, just stand up and then you can sit right back down. Don't say nothing. Just get up, sit down. That's all I want you to do. If you've got a need you want me to pray about, thank you, sir. Thank you, brother. Thank you, brother. God knows him. And he's a keeping a record. Somebody else? Bless you, sis. Bless you, brother. Bless you, dear. Bless you. Praise God. He's a circling them.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. Yeah.
You got something pressing you, just get up and sit down. That's all. Never done this in my life before. Bless you. 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 Bless all of you. Glory to God. He can keep record of it too, honey. He's able. Bless you. Pretty good, isn't it? Never done that. God just told me somebody here got some burdens or things that bother them. Anybody else, right quickly? I don't care if 4 or 5 of you stand up. At the same time, it don't bother me. I mean, God counts you faster. You can stand up. He can change in a moment, in the twinkle of an eye. He can get the rest of it done, right?
Amen.
Bless you, brother.
I seen.
Bless you, son. Somebody else.
I seen Ricky, the little boy, going to the altar a while ago, and I thought, well,
he's got some business on his mind.
His brother's out of town, but his father's still there.
It don't take forever. These little ones, buddy, I tell you right now, I appreciate these little old boys and girls coming to this altar because how did they get through? It don't take them all day to get through. So they don't keep nothing in their heart like we do. I mean, they can just get it over with. Most time, all you have to do is just smile at them and they'll love you. Really. God's using the youngins around here. He sure is. Yes. Helping some folks. If you have your Bibles, turn with me over into Genesis 45. And I'd like to preach tonight on Come Near to Me in verse 4. Joseph said to his brethren, Come near to me, I pray you. And they came near, and he said, I'm Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. Now I want to talk to you about this tonight, and you know the story, most of you I'm sure know it. I'll tell it to the rest of you. Joseph is a type of Jesus. And his father one day said, Son, I want you to go see about your brethren. Take them some food down there. Are you listening? Father said, Son, I want you to take some food to your brethren. And I want you to take them down there or something. And when they went down there, when he went down there with their food and went down to check on them, they saw him coming. And then they was envious of him. They thought, well, he's got that coat on of many colors. Looks like my daddy loves him better than he does the rest of us, so he's a little bit proud, looks like, and I'm sure he wasn't. But we don't like him. He's one of the younger brothers. He's just a half-brother to us anyhow. And we'll just take care of him while he's down here. So for envy, they took him and it's going to kill him. They took his coat and tore it up and put blood on it and killed the animal, put blood on it and sent it back to the father. And they said, now, we don't know what went with him, but we found his coat all tore up. You remember they took Jesus' coat one day? They done a lot of things today to Joseph as they did to Jesus. And then they took him and sold him, and then after they sold him, the fellows they sold him to took him and got rid of him somewhere else. They put him down in Pharaoh's house. They first put him down there, and then they took him and put him in jail. Kept him down there for a spell, about 3 years. And then after they kept him in jail a while, they turned him loose to interpret the dream. But he got promoted. And then they come a famine up in Canaan. You remember that? Famine up there, and they didn't have no corn, so they had to go to Egypt to get corn. But before that, I mean, God had already promoted him to be governor. I mean, you know, one day the Bible said in Isaiah, the government shall be upon his shoulder. That's not what I've said about Joseph. It's already happened to Jesus. And he's already the governor. He's already in control. He owns all this. He's in control of all of it. And all he done was to come down here and see about the brothers, but they didn't want him. They killed him, they crucified him, and they got rid of him. But I want to tell you something. He came back. I want to tell you right now, in the form of the Holy Ghost, he's back here, and he's a living inside of every one of us that is saved tonight. But listen, they said now, they said all this stuff to him, and then they come down there to buy corn, and they didn't know who Joseph was. And finally, the time comes, he couldn't do it any longer. He couldn't stand it anymore. So he called in verse 45, when Joseph could not refrain himself before them that stood by him, he cried, cause every man to go out from me. And there stood no man with him while Joseph made himself known to the brethren. He got rid of everybody that was in there. All those folks from Egypt, he got rid of them and said, well, all of you to leave the room. I've got a little something to do, and I can't take it no longer. Got to have you out of here. I got to tell these folks who I am. I mean, I've got some fellows here that I'm hurting for. They've done me wrong, but I love them so good. They're my brothers, and I got to tell them who I am. One day, Jesus rose from the dead, and he said to Mary, you go tell my brethren that I send to my God and to your God. He said, tell them I'm coming back. I mean, he got back that afternoon, and you know where they're at, behind locked doors, and they're all in one room, but Jesus walked on through the door. Said, peace be unto you. The Bible said, and he wept aloud, and the Egyptians in the house of Pharaoh heard it. Hey, do you know what? Jesus, when he came and looked at Israel that day and they wouldn't have him, he cried many times. But Lord, the last time that he said anything about it and talked to them, he said, behold, your house is left unto you desolate. He wept. And he said, how oft would I have gathered you together as a chicken with as a hen with her chicken under her wing, and you would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. And you'll not see me for a while,
But listen what he said here. Joseph said unto his brother, I am Joseph. Now that didn't shake him up too bad. I mean, they couldn't understand. I'm sure they didn't understand. What in the world he talking about? I mean, we got rid of Joseph and he's not here. I don't know who this fellow is, but he said, I'm Joseph. Doeth my father yet live? And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled in his presence. Man, I mean, when Jesus comes on the scene, if you're not really right with God as a sinner, if you're a sinner, or if you've done what they've done, and you haven't got things straightened out, brother, I want to tell you, it'll scare you when God comes on the scene. Did me, at least, when I was a sinner. I got so shut up. Boy, I tell you right now, I thought I'm going to die. I'd go to hell tonight. Thank God I got saved that day. Now he said, I'm Joseph. Does my father yet live? Oh, there's trouble. Listen to what he said. And Joseph said in verse 4, unto the brethren, come near to me. I mean, here they are, scared to death. He said, boys, come up here. I'm not going to hurt you. Just come up here close to me. I got some more stuff to tell you. But God, listen, I've got something else to tell you. I mean, something better than just being Joseph. I want to tell you something else. John, I want you to come up here near me. And the Bible said they came near, and he said, I'm Joseph, your brother. I'm your brother. I'm not just Joseph, that's not. I'm your brother, Joseph. Oh, you mean the one we crucified? Yeah. The one we sold? Yeah. The one we lied on? Yeah. This is he. Boy, I'm going to tell you, I'm glad that this Jesus that I'm preaching about is the same Jesus that hung on the 2,000 years ago on Calvary. The same Jesus is begging for you and me. Come on up here. Forget about what you've done. Forget about your sin. Back under. I'm going to love you. I swear to have you up here close to me. Great Lord, Sam, would we have a camp meeting if everybody could get in the arms of Jesus? And them old people used to say, I heard them old women say, I will arise and go to Jesus. He will embrace me in his arms. In the arms of my dear Savior. Oh, thou art 10,000 charms. The Bible said, he said, come, I pray you. And they came near and he said, I am your brother, I am Joseph, your brother. And I'm the one you sold in Egypt. Don't you imagine they felt pretty rough? Now therefore be not grieved. Listen to this. Nor angry with yourselves that you sold me hither. For God did send me before you to preserve life. Amen. Joseph said, I don't want you to be angry with yourself. I don't want you to be mad at yourself. God's the one sent me down here. You didn't have nothing to do around here. Never mind. It was God that done it. He told my father to send me to see about you, youngin. He set the food down here to feed you. And you didn't like what I was doing. And you didn't like me. But you got rid of me. You saw. But you didn't get rid of me. I'm still here. I didn't die like you thought. I'm alive. Let God let that Jesus came. But he said, man, I'm here. I was a dead. But I'm alive forevermore. Have a key to hell and death. Why don't you come up here close to me? I want to tell you who I am. I want to tell you how much I love you.
Amen.
And I want to tell you what God does.
Yes,
it is God that done this and you didn't have nothing to do with it. Boy, ain't it wonderful when you find out you didn't have a whole lot to do with what you come up with. These Israelites, they didn't have nothing to do with this. This is Jacob's children I'm talking about. Now they thought, man, we're the one done it. You know, I was just telling you this morning, old Joseph, the Bible said, when he got these boys in there, he wept aloud. Said he wept aloud till the Egyptians heard it. I mean, they heard him crying. I mean, listen, And I was telling you this morning about Joseph when he said, I want you to take my bones out. He done told them. He said, I don't want you to lay this to yourself because you didn't have anything to do with this. He said, now God's the one done it, verse 5. Therefore be not grieved nor angry with yourself that you sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. They still couldn't believe that. Joseph is dying over here in the last chapter of Genesis and verse 17. So shall ye say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee now, these trespasses of thy brethren and for their sins, for they did unto thee evil. And now we pray thee, forgive thy trespasses, thy servant and thy the servants of thy God, of thy father. And Joseph wept when he spake unto them. Here they are coming back after all these years of being blessed, and they come at the dying hour of Joseph and said, I want you to forgive us of our sins. I mean, forgive us again, Lord. I mean, forgive us. We're not sure you did forgive us. Honey, let me tell you, I don't know who you are, nor who might be listening, but I'm sure that he did forgive you. If he asked you, if you asked him, he said he would. They said, forgive us of our sins. And he wept. Don't you reckon that Jesus gets upset when you come back and you keep bugging him for something that he done 40 years ago? Said, I forgive you of all your sins. Took them all away. They're all gone. And you say, well, I can't believe it. I just can't believe it. I'm going back up there in the last hour and I'm going to talk to him. This is the last time I'll get to talk to him. I want to be sure that I'm okay. How to listen? Joseph wept. He didn't weep because he's confessing their sins. He wept because they wouldn't believe what he said. Amen. And their brother also went and fell down before his face. And they said, behold, we be thy servants. And Joseph said unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of God? Don't come repenting to me. Am I in the place of God? All I've done is die. I mean, get sold, go to prison, come to help you, to preserve life. That's all I come to do. I'm not coming down here. This is Joseph talking now. I'm not God. You didn't sin against me. You sinned against God. But you don't have to keep coming to God. I mean, it hurt old Joseph that his brothers couldn't believe him. And he wept. Well, I better get off of that, because I'm in deep trouble over there everywhere I go. But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it to good, to bring to pass that is here this day, to save much people alive. And now, therefore, fear ye not, I will nourish you, thank God, and your little ones, and I will come with them and speak kindly unto them. I mean, this is the daughter of a man that's been sold and that's been thrown out and that's been lied about and told the grief of to his father. My friend, these boys done this, and Joseph said, don't worry about it, just come down to me. And he said, when I get through and this day is over, I'll think no evil against you. And besides that, I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to take care of your little ones. I'm going to be nice to all your babies. I'll do good to everybody. I mean, God's the one that you know your sins are gone. Your sins are forgiven. He ain't going to just bless you. He'll bless your little ones too. Hey, are you listening? I mean, he said, don't worry about it, what you've done to me. He said, God wanted this done, and it was God that done it before time began. It was God that made the plan. It was God that laid it all down. It was God that made a man. It was God that wanted to show the angels that I am Lord. And the only way he showed it is for him to come and die, send his son to die for the sins of the world. He done that, buddy. To let them know I'm not mad at anybody. I just love them. Old Adam sinned in the garden, and we couldn't help it. I mean, we couldn't help Adam sinning. And I don't guess that is good either. I mean, we can't help Eve sinning, and I don't reckon she could either. Because God had a plan that they were going to sin. And then because of sin, we're going to be born into this world, and we're going to be born in sin, and a shaken in iniquity, and in sin did our mother conceive us. We came forth from our mother's womb speaking lies. We couldn't help that. You couldn't help being born in sin. You had nothing to do with it. You were there. You had nothing. You couldn't control it. But thank God Jesus did come and pay the penalty and pay the price and liberate you and set you free and took care of you ever since. Said, I'll not only take care of you, but I'll be good to your little ones. Ain't it good? He just said, come near to me. I'd just like to have you up here in my arms. I'd like to tell you about all this good stuff. Why, he said, children, it was God's plan all the time. Way back before the world began, before there ever was a star, before there ever was a moon, before there ever was a sun, before there ever was a sea, before there ever was an earth.
Amen.
God's plan. Jesus Christ would come and die.
Amen.
And save the lost.
Amen.
By grace.
Lord,
he planned to come to his own.
Hallelujah.
And his own received him not. He blinded him so I could get in.
Amen.
One day he'll lift the blindness.
Yes, sir.
And he'll let him see.
Amen.
One day God is going to do what he wants to do. Ain't a thing nobody can do about it. Now, I know that when somebody listens to this, they're going to see he's Calvinistic. I mean, hyper-grace. Calvinistic. Hyper-dispensationalist. I hear that so much I get sick. That's what they say about me. Well, I'm just hyper, or whatever hyper. But I am a hyper-gossiper, thank God for that. I don't hyper up on preachers. I don't hyper up on my brethren. I don't raise hell about what somebody else is doing. I just want to tell you how good God is and what all the Lord's done for me. And if you get mad at me, get mad, stay mad, cross, kill, curse, write letter, put it in the newspaper, wherever you want to put it. I still want to tell how good the Lord is. I have nothing to do with coming here. I didn't have nothing to do with being a sinner. I didn't have nothing to do with getting saved except when I trusted him. And he furnished the grace to do that with.
Amen.
I mean, he sent the blood down here through his son.
Amen.
Put it on the old rugged cross.
Yes, sir.
Took it back to town. I took heaven, sprinkled the mercy seat. Sent his son back down here, stayed 40 days, went back home, and sat down on the right hand of God to make intercession, and sent the Holy Ghost down here.
Yes,
10 days later than that. And he entered into the room with everybody else shut out. Ain't that good?
Yeah,
he shut the whole world out. Said, children, I got something for you. Come like a mighty rushing wind, fill the house where they were sitting. People say, I don't believe that. I could care less. I believe it because I read it. And he filled the house with the Spirit of God. The Bible said, now therefore be not grieved, nor angry with yourself that you sold me. Don't get mad at yourself because you're a sinner. And Jesus had to die for you. And don't get mad at nobody else. Just thank God you're saved.
Amen.
I mean, just praise him for being saved. Like this brother said, you don't have to go to hell. Lord God, folks say, well, I just ain't got nothing to shout about. Well, if you ain't going to hell, you ought to shout about that. Rejoice because your name's written in heaven. If you're born again, that's all the ground you need to shout on. You don't need everything else to happen to you. To even praise God, just thank God you're saved. That'll keep you running from that or Jesus comes.
Amen.
And then some.
Amen.
And the Bible said, "Now therefore be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that you sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life." Well, you know what he's come down here for. He come down here, Joseph did in Egypt, take care of him. There's going to be a lot of things happen. Now, I got a few things more I want to say, and I'm going to let you go. Now, he said in verse 8, "So is not that, not you that sent me hither, but God. And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh, and lord of all his house, and a ruler throughout all of his land, the land of Egypt." Now, boy, listen, that's pretty good for a little old boy that got told in the pit to come out doing. I mean, he said, "Now I'm a father to Pharaoh." I've had people say to me, "You're just a father to me. You've been a father to me. Bless God, there's somebody greater than me." Yeah, a lot of these little youngins have said he's been a father to me. Old Fred's been a father to me. But listen, I had one that I patterned my life after. I mean, he's greater than me, greater than you. His name's Jesus. I mean, listen, and he acted like his father, and I want to act like him, so I'll be like his father. And bless God, listen, if you're a child of God, that's the way you ought to act. Like you're a child of God, and God's your father, and you have to go to the devil for nothing. You ought to go to God for everything. If you need information, you ought to go to God. If you need instruction, you ought to go to God. If you need counseling, you ought to go to God. If you're in a business transaction, you ought to go to God. Just put it all in God's hands. The Father knows better to tell you than anybody.
Amen.
I said, I'm the father to Pharaoh. Not only am I the father to Pharaoh, but I'm the Lord over all of his house. And not only am I the Lord, but I'm the ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Haste ye and go to my father and say unto him, Thus saith thy son Joseph, God hath made me Lord of Egypt. Come down and tarry not. Thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen. Thou shalt be near unto me, and thy children and thy children's children, and thy flock and thy herds, and all that thou hast. And then I will nourish thee, for yet there is 5 years of famine, lest thou in thy household and all that thou hast come to poverty. And behold, your eyes see, and the eyes of my brother Benjamin, that it is my mouth that speaketh unto you." Do you know what the Bible says over in Hebrews? He said in the time past, God spoke by prophets and so on. But in this last day, he's spoken by his son. And that's all you're going to get, what the son tells you. You listen to him. He's a good one. Now listen. Verse 13. "And ye shall tell my father of all my glory in Egypt." Whew. That'd be a pretty big load to tell. Go back and tell him about all my glory. Hey, I mean, everybody's giving glory to Joseph. Here's the man that's kept us from starving to death. I mean, he's took care of all these Egyptians, and now he's going to take care of his brothers and his daddy and his brother and their children and their children's children and right on down. He's going to look after the whole crowd. Isn't that good?
Amen.
You know who's looking after you? The Father and Jesus. And they're taking care of you. Said, "I want my father to come." I read over in the New Testament one day. And he said, "If you do what certain things that I tell you to do, me and my father will come down and live with you." How'd you like to have God the Father at your house? And God the Son, the Holy Ghost, all three of them.
Amen.
Hey, how'd you like to have them come live with you? Would you like that?
Amen.
Well, just hunt that up and read it for yourself and see if I didn't tell you like it is. That if you'll do certain things, he said, me and my father will come down
and we'll stay with you. We'll come to your house. Lord, wouldn't that be good to have God the Father, God the Son, the Holy Ghost all down here, the maker of the universe down here to tell you what to do? I mean, you're going to do something? Well, he'll tell you. You say, preacher, but can he help me? We're going to build him a house. Why, sure, he's a master builder. Let's God, he built the whole world. He spoke it into existence. Ain't God good? I mean, you get him on the scene, brother. You don't have to have a carpenter. You don't need the carpenter. And if you do it, if you need a carpenter, I tell you, the best thing I ever read about, his name is Jesus. He works and he's got it. Hey, Father, he's got it in a carpenter shop. He did. Hey, you want to create something? He's the creator. He made all things. Without him, there's not anything made that was made. Why, listen. But he said, I want you to go up and tell my father about my glory. Now, I'm the father of Pharaoh. I'm the Lord in Egypt. I'm the ruler of all of it. I'm in control of everything down here. I mean, there ain't nothing moves that I don't know about. I tell everybody what to do. And everybody's giving me glory. Well, I just got out of jail. And interpreted a dream. And that's about all I had to do. Man, they put a gold chain around my neck and turned me loose. Said, man, you somebody. Yes, sir. You got more sense than all of them put together in Egypt. Well, I'll tell you something. Jesus has got more in 1 minute than the whole world could have in 10 billion years.
Amen.
He knew how to do all this stuff. Now let us talk to you about it. And go back and tell him. Go back and tell him all the glory that I've got in Egypt. Now, are you listening? I read in Isaiah and I preached it down the other night. The whole earth's full of his glory. And you hear folks are running around hollering, glory, glory, glory. There ain't nothing wrong with that. They're seeing something. I mean, you see glory? Holler at it. You see, brother up there hollering, grace, grace. Well, he done seen the grace of God, see. Went there and spent the whole morning at the prayer ground instead of coming to church. That's all right. Nothing wrong with that. He ought to be in the church. No, he ought to be where God wanted him to be. Need to be down there talking to God. He's doing some big business. And he's going to have to make some big decisions. And there's only one can tell him how to do it. And that's God. I can't tell him. There's no man able to tell you what to do. I mean, I can instruct you the best I can if God lets me know. The best thing for you to do is go and find out from God yourself first-handed. And then you'll be in some good shape. I think that's pretty good. Yeah. We'd have one more in Sunday school or two if they hadn't been gone there, but that's okay. I'd rather have God and one in Sunday school than have 10,000 and no God in Sunday school. So I like it when God's around. You say, well, there ain't been much going on here today. Well, Sister Green's sick. She'd shout if she is able. She just got a hurt in her chest and her lungs. I'm not, you know, and Willie, he's listening. And Green, and don't worry about it. Everything's in control. Hey, you know what I mean? God's still on the throne. He's still taking care of business. All we need to do is just tell about his glory. Hey, during this camp meeting, you don't have to come up here and tell everything you've ever done. I don't care nothing about all that. God don't either. He's interested in what he's done for you.
Amen.
Not what you've done against him or for him.
Amen.
You know? Joseph said, listen, I don't want you to tell me what you've done to me. I don't want you to remember what you've done to me. I want to tell you what I've done for you. I come down here to preserve life. Keep you from starving to death. Keep a little youngins from getting hungry. Ain't he good?
Amen.
Some of us think, boy, I'm smart reading. I'm getting along good. I can outsmart them. No, you're a dummy. Because you ain't found out, bless God, who is smart. He just looks at you because you're so dumb you think you're smart. And he said, well, we better watch that. He's too dumb to let me help him, so we better look at him anyhow. Slip in behind him. I mean, every time he looks and drops something in his bucket. Poor fella thinks he's okay, but he ain't. There ain't nobody smart enough. But without God in him, we live and move and have our being. And you say, but I raised my youngins right. No, he's the one going to do it. He'll take care of you, youngins. You just need to get with him and enjoy him and draw near to him. Get up there and let him hug you a little bit.
Amen.
Some of you so far away from the Lord. Been so long since he's ever pulled you up real close and you felt his heartbeat. How'd you like to be one of the beloved disciples like John? He laid his head. He's always laying on Jesus' breast. I reckon those disciples thought if he lays his head over there, he must hear his heart beating. He's listening to everything he's thinking. So when they got it, trying to find out which one was Judas, they said, John, which one is it? They thought John knew more than anybody because he's closer to the Lord. I mean, old John, Peter and John was pretty good. He, one of them kept his mouth shut and listened. He hasn't kept it running all the time. That's a pretty good team. You've got two listening all the time, they ain't going to talk to them. You got two talking all the time, they ain't going to listen. But old John had his ear right up on his heart.
Amen.
Listening to the heartbeat of Jesus. And old Peter's out there running his mouth. And bless God, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll take care of him. I mean, he must have been about the size of this dude right here on the front. I can imagine old Peter being a big old strong boy about like this old Andy here. Walks in right back to... Y'all know I cut your ear off. He did. He came to Jesus, man. He just pulled that sword out and whacked it off. Mama and his ear went flip. Jesus grabbed it and stuck it back on. And it healed it just like that. See, I mean, yeah, Peter had a temper. He's about as stupid as the rest of us sometimes, I think. He's always telling God, you can't do that. Oh, yeah. Can you imagine? It ain't wrong to be stupid. Poor old Peter saying, God, Jesus, now you ain't going to die. He said, Peter, I won't be in that courthouse till daylight, till the cock crows, but you'll done deny me three times. John, I mean, you ain't here what you think you are. When they come to see about him, they come out there and one of them said, didn't I see you in the garden with him? Not me. I don't even know what you're talking about. And another said, oh, you are one of, yeah, you're him. Your speech betrays you. I know, I've heard you talk before. You're always running your lip. I've heard you before, and you're the same one. Well, I started cussing.
He wasn't saved.
He was saved, too.
Amen.
He cussed and swore he never knew it. Boy, it didn't hardly get done cussing until the rooster crowed. He went out and wept bitterly. Because some of you ain't heard the rooster crowing so long, it's pitiful. He got full of the Holy Ghost. No more rooster for Peter. But I want to tell you something. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
He's here to help us.
Amen.
Well, if we'll all get right, we'll have a camp meeting. Forget about it. You ain't never going to get right. So if that's going to be the case, we might as well hang it up and call it off.
Amen.
Well, if all of us had come down there and get right with God, go out there and get right with him. He didn't, here's where you probably backslid, but that's where you done the dirt. Most everybody backslides in the house of God. They do. If they do that, I mean, you know. I don't know, that's not in the New Testament. But I mean, when you get out of whack, it's right here. Rebellion. Ain't going to listen to the preacher. And I have got some things to tell somebody after meeting, maybe next week, about the middle of the week. And you better pay attention to me when I tell you. When I tell you to do something, you better pick up your ears and say, yes, sir. Glad to. Thank you. Thought I'd tell you so. Wouldn't be a surprise when I come to you. Say, hey, you got to do so-and-so. I'm going to have to change things around a little bit to make room for people. And so when I come to you, but you got to move here and you got to just say, thank you, sir. Glad, praise God. I'll sleep on the ground if I can't do no better. I just want to stay here where I can hear about God. Now, the Lord only wants you to come near to Him. He don't want you to come telling everything you've done and you're sorry that you've done it. He said, don't be angry with yourself.
Amen.
You wasn't the one done it nohow. Don't be so stupid. I don't want you to be angry. I want you happy. Man, I've had enough. I don't want somebody hanging around me and say, oh, I'm sorry. Bless God, I want you to be glad you're seeing me like I'm glad I'm seeing you. I want us to have a reunion. What there's a wanting, family reunion. And would you think it'd be sad to go to a family reunion and have to go around every one of them and say, cousin, I'm sorry I've been talking about you and I'm sorry and I ain't going to say it, I'm not going to do it no more. God, what kind of reunion would that be? Be a sad outfit, wouldn't it? That's about the way we are in our meetings, you know. Oh, God, I'm just so sorry. I'm glad you're here, but I'm sorry, Mr. You shut up. I come down here to love you, to hug you, to kiss you, to pull you up in my arms and tell you how much I care for you. Don't be telling me all your sad stories.
Amen.
I want you to do one thing. Go tell my father about my glory. Let's have a prayer meeting this next week, and everybody come to prayer meeting. And let's get out and say, God, I just want to tell you about your son.
Amen.
Father, I just want to tell you about his glory. Amen. I just want to tell you how great he is. I want to tell you how good he is. Father, I want to thank you for him. I want to thank you for what he's doing. You know, I've about decided that the best way to pray is just thank him before he does it.
Amen. Amen.
And before you ask him.
Amen.
But he knows what you're going to ask him. I told that brother down in Alabama, I said, I'm gonna have him just put a ring around your name and claim it.
Amen. Amen.
I told Green the other day, we're down in the prayer room, I said, now pray for this and ring it. Put a ring around it. That means it's okay. That's sealed.
Amen.
I mean, ring it.
Amen.
When you ring it, brother, that's ringed. I mean, you believe it, don't you? Why, the Bible says they believe, when they believe over in Hebrew, said they embraced the promises.
Amen.
And confessed.
Amen.
And when you confess that God's going to do it, it's done, honey.
Amen.
Put a ring around it. You can put an X out there when it's, however he fixes it down the prayer book. We sit around here unbelieving. If there's anything you're going to do when the Lord comes by in tent meeting, just say, God, I'm sorry, I didn't believe you. When somebody runs over you and about knocks you down, you get up and just brush your britches off and say, God, I'm sorry, I didn't believe you was going to do it. But the preacher told me that it's going to happen. There's going to be some good stuff around here. Oh, we're going to have some big write-ups. One of these days, somebody's telling me something. It's going to get on. Don't you worry about it. Hey. And they're going to be calling me and saying, hey, you still letting people, are you still allowing people to be slain in the spirit? Ain't that something? No, sir. I don't allow the Holy Ghost to do nothing. He just does it. You don't allow God to do nothing. Hey, who are you to allow God to do something? And besides that, who are you to know the mind of God?
Amen.
His ways past finding out.
Amen.
I read to somebody the other day, and they said, about the second coming of Jesus. God, I tell you, they had it all figured out, and they said, whatever they said was over there in Thessalonians. And they said, the Bible says you know perfectly that Jesus is coming. I mean, it didn't say it like that. He said, you know, ain't no use me telling you. You know perfectly that the day of the Lord is going to come as a thief in the night.
Amen.
Now, whoever had a thief to call and say, I'll be there at 7:30. I want the doors unlocked and the windows open. I'm coming. Said he's coming as a thief in the night. And that fellow read somebody's book, and he's trying to down the fellow that had wrote the book, and he said, well, he ought to know the Lord's coming because the Lord said when he's coming and how he's coming. Yeah, he did, but you ought to read all of it. I don't know what it all means, but I know, thieves don't send no message ahead, and they ain't got no signboards up. And by the way, they ain't got nobody writing the books on it either.